Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Greetings, travelers!
Greetings, travelers!
So it is two of the formerly three Charlie's Angels. I'm going to keep using that. I love that. But we are super excited tonight because we got to set this up really, really quickly and go live with some folks that have now become some of our favorites. And we have two of the three Musketeers that are a part of this, and hopefully the third one will join us. But we are going to welcome the Sirens of the Supernatural podcast with us.
Woo! Hi.
Hi. Look at me trying to have by the end of this, I'm going to just sound like the late amazing James Earl Jones. I'm going to do my best Vader impersonation without having to have a mask. But Lindsay, Rhonda, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is so
absolutely
exciting.
I spared no time. When can you guys come on? Because we got to go on your podcast. And then I was like, right. Got to get them on immediately. Who wants to do the introduction as to what Sirens of the Supernatural is?
It's just a family affair. We had a cousin that's not part of the podcast now, but he's the reason we got started. Ryan and I have a first cousin named Jody, and he messaged us out of the blue one day and said, we should do a podcast, and I can be the producer, and you guys can go on and talk. And he was doing some other podcasts and some other things behind the scenes. So I had talked with Lindsay a couple years ago about maybe doing one someday. And we were both so busy, and it just kind of got lost in the sauce. So when Jody reached out, we're like, well, hey, we could try this. And so we did. We, the three of us, started in front of the camera last October. And we didn't know what we were doing, honestly. But we love podcasts, and we love all things scary and spooky. So we got out there, and we've been doing it ever since. Jody has since moved on to some other things, and Lindsay has kind of taken the realm behind the camera as well as our producer. And I kind of do social media. Ryan is great at booking guests and finding new people and topics and places for us to go. So we make a pretty good team. And if I didn't say this, Lindsay's my daughter. Erica knows that, but probably your listeners don't. And then Ryan and I grew up. He's a little bit younger than me. And we just kind of grew up in very rural southern Appalachia, back in the coal mining country where, you know, people still live in haulers. And if you didn't have a job in the coal mines, you know, you kind of had to move away and get a job, either that or playing bluegrass music. You know, that was the thing. And yeah, there wasn't a lot of jobs. And a lot of our cousins are still there, you know, have just kind of stayed around the area. Well, I joined the Army, and Ryan joined the Army later, and that's kind of how we got out, I'll say. And
Well, thank you for your service.
I met my husband in the Army, Lindsay's dad, and we've been married for almost 36 years now. And he's not a fan of, like, all things spooky, but he goes along with our shenanigans, I would say.
puts up with it. He puts up with it for sure.
Well, I can say for myself and Bo, both of us, our husbands as well, put up with it. And I say barely at times because he's always like, are you summoning Sasquatches to the house? And I'm like, if I knew how to do that, I would. But I don't know how to do that yet. So
But we might get there.
I'd love to get there. There are other weird things that happen that he's like, what did you do? So I want to talk about, you guys had this idea and started doing this podcast, right? But you cover like all the things creepy and horror-y and weird, right? I have to ask you, what is your favorite horror movies then? Because you go that route. So Lindsay, what's your favorite horror movie?
Okay, so I don't know really how big of a horror movie this is. I don't know if y'all have seen it, but it's called As Above, So Below. Have either one of you seen that movie?
Oh, Bo has.
I think there's a lot of criticism of it, but it's my absolute favorite. It's not super scary, but it's almost like National Treasure meets Paranormal Activity. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. That's my favorite all-time horror movie. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. And we got Ryan. Ryan's finally popped in. Hello, hey, Ryan. Welcome.
Sorry. Yeah, my camera and sound, nothing was working. I was in there trying to get things done. I can hear y'all. I'm like, okay, nothing's working. So I'm sitting here trying to get on here. So
that's okay. We are going to pretend like those are the ghosts in the machine that do things. That's where I go with those things. Ghosts in the machine. We're talking about favorite horror movies. So Lindsay told us hers that I've never heard of, now that I'm going to have to watch it. Rhonda, what is yours?
Mine is the 1978 Halloween, the original, the OG. I love it. I watch it every year. Anytime I'm flipping through the channels, if it's on, I have to stop and watch it. I just love it. Love, love, love.
Tell me that music is not one of the soundtracks, though, that stays with you, like, forever. Like, you can hear it anywhere, and you're waiting for somebody to jump out behind a bush with a knife. And
it really does. I had it as my ringtone for a little while.
I bet that creeped out plenty of humans that heard that. So, oh my gosh. Ryan, what about you? Favorite horror movie?
My favorite has to be the only one that ever scared me. It had to be The Exorcist. But I also, one of my other favorites that I've told them about, I like the original Pumpkinhead. A lot of people don't know about that one. But to me, that's original. It's very creative. I love the way the movie was laid out. But my absolute favorite's got to be Exorcist, because it's the one movie that basically, it's why I got into paranormal, because I was like 4 years old, woke up in the middle of the night, and that movie was on. I'm the only one awake because we had a little sleepover, and I'm in the living room floor, look up, and I see Linda Blair's head spinning around, and I'm just like 4 year old, and it like freaks me out. And I'm like, so ever since then, with the nightmares and all the stuff, that's kind of what got me into all this.
So you're trauma bonded with the movie now.
Yes. Yes.
I love that so very much. My dad did think it was a good idea to show his very young daughter, i.e. me, 5 years old, this movie as well. So that's a whole, we're not going to unpeel that trauma that seemed like such a great plan. Let me just tell you, Jaws traumatized me too and couldn't go in the water. So those were two absolute traumas. What do you think of the fact that they're remaking The Exorcist right now?
I've seen the first one, the remake that they came out last year. It was original creative. I really didn't like how they threw everything together. They just kind of threw it all together and tried to make it stick. I don't really think that that was a good combination. I really liked the series that they came up with that was on, I think it was on Fox. There was two seasons. The first season I thought was awesome. The second season was really good, but it didn't live up to the first season. And, you know, like you said, Jaws, I'm a shark fanatic. Everybody can tell you I love Jaws. So that's my, like, favorite go-to. Because anywhere I go to the beach, I go to find sharks. I've went to, like, Florida, and I've been to California trying to ride the Jaws ride. But it's either broke down or they don't have it no more. So I have went literally all the way across the country just to ride a stupid ride, and it's probably never going to happen.
I will tell you. So I have a funny thing with the Jaws ride in California, because I grew up in California. And so right before I left there, we went to Universal again. And on the one in California, the way it used to be, keep in mind, crew, this is like 40 years ago. That's what I'm going to say. And I'm not saying any more than that. But what would happen is Universal Studios was literally like a tour ride in this little like trolley thing through the movie studios. It wasn't rides. Like, that wasn't the intention of Universal back then. It was like, just come see how people film movies and come see the movie lots and all of that stuff, right? So the Jaws ride there was, they took you there. It was literally like a little lagoon of water, like not a lake, a lagoon, right? And there was a guy on a boat in the lagoon fishing, right? It was a mannequin. And they drive you down and across this like sort of half bridge, because the bridge is, there's no water on the other side. It's like railing and then like a wooden bridge. And so they drive you and they go, what's going on? And you hear the, oh, we lost Ryan. Well, he'll come back and have to listen to the story. You hear the dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. And then it seems like the bridge breaks. So you're tilting in this trolley. Not that much. In my young mind, I thought I was like, hanging off airless. No, it was probably leaned like 10 degrees. And then Jaws comes out of the water along the side of the bridge. I did not know what in my young mind. Actually thought I was going to plummet into this water and be eaten by this not real plastic shark head. But man, if that did not scare the living crap out of me. I thought I was like, it was actually a worse sensation than haunted houses and stuff to me. And it's so funny to me that I literally thought I was going to somehow perish in this situation. And I'm like, huh, okay.
Look at Erica, you know what's really gross? Look up that shark now that's just chilling at the bottom of the pond at Universal, like rotting away. It's the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
What?
Look it up.
I'm scared.
I have a new phobia, and it's mechanical things under the water, and I hate it.
It's so funny to me because this was like this really terrifying, and people were scared, and people were screaming and terrified that we were tilting and Jaws was coming.
Yeah.
Now I look back and go, wow, talk about suspension of illogical like stuff, because first of all, Universal Studios would not want to pay the insurance on all of us getting eaten. Second of all, they wouldn't think it was a very good idea to take you past the giant shark. Third of all, they wouldn't dump you in the water next to it. I mean, there's just like this thing, but back then, man, it scared the crap out of me. The absolute crap out of me. And I was like, okay, I never want to go again. And then I saw they had the ride in Florida and I was like, nope, I'm traumatized for life. Thank you, no.
Honestly, I feel like even today, if that happened, I would go through the rational parts in my brain, like all of the things you just said, the insurance and everything, I would go through that in my brain, but in the very back of my mind, I'd be like, wait, what if, but what if, like, what if I'm about to die right now?
What if a real shark jumped into this pool and is now hunting me?
Yeah, well, now I've got the whole bow trauma of maybe an animatron shark is going to do something terrible.
They can't
just imagine if you fell in there. You fell in there and there's tracks in there. It's gross.
The bacteria.
The bacteria. The infections. Erica, the infections.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it kind of leads me to, because haunted houses, I don't do well in haunted houses because if people jump out at me, I tend to hit them. I'm very well aware of this. Like, you jump at me, I'm going to hit you. And I think a lot of this, and I know this is somebody in a character. I've done haunted houses. I've been that person jumping out at people. Like, I don't know why it is, but my luck would be this. The moment I calm down from it, it would be one of those horror movie situations where that's not really a player in the haunted house and it is a killer. And they would jump out and I'd be like, oh, stop punching people. And then they'd stab me to death. Like, that would be how that would go down.
The one person you should have punched and you didn't. Now you're dead.
Yeah, that's how it would go. Okay, so I got to ask you guys, I'm hoping Ryan does jump back in with us, but what is your favorite haunted attraction to go to then?
You know, I love a good haunted corn maze, like the little haunted hay rides that you can go on. But I do like a haunted house. I think that I just like being scared. I think it's like your, what is it called? Your
adrenaline?
Adrenaline starts going.
Yeah.
And I just think it's fun. You know, people jump out at you, but it's for the most part pretty controlled. and it's like not real, but it's kind of fun at the same time. But I don't know if mom will say the same thing.
But what place did you like to go to? Like, where did you go that...
We went to Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Oh, no.
And their criminally insane ward, they keep it decorated for Halloween, all of the floors, all the time. And we went, and it was the best haunted house I've ever been to. It was amazing.
It's like three stories, and...
Yeah, I think it was supposed to take us... probably 25 minutes or so to get through it, but mom was behind me, like perched on my shoulders, pushing me through. We went double time. We left our group.
We
caught up with the group in front of us. Mom was just marathoning it through that thing.
That's right? Because my approach is, if you don't slow down, they can't scare you. Okay, you're gonna get past, and they're gonna scare the people behind you.
But then that's also, like, it's also kind of the point. I feel like we did miss some things, but it was, yeah. I mean, just visually the props that they had, the actors they had in there. I mean, it was like very high quality. It was really good.
That's very cool. I will never go there because it's legitimately haunted. So I'm good with not experiencing legitimate haunt on top of the normal haunt. Yeah. But I've had that. I was behind somebody at Universal Studios. This would be the evening I got kicked out of Universal Studios for hitting somebody. But in my defense, he jumped out of a bush with a chainsaw.
That'll do it.
You know,
Erica, that's what their job is. Their job is to.
Their job description was. I am trying to justify the fact that I had my picture taken and I got thrown out of Universal Studios. But we did go into a haunted house right before this thing happened, and the girl behind us, the woman behind us, was so scared that she just froze. Not behind us, in front of us. She just froze. She didn't move. She just stopped. Oh, wow. And like, we couldn't move her. And then we kind of moved around her. And it was weird because it was one of those rooms where you walk in and the whatever the doctor or scary thing is supposed to come and just kind of approach with like a gurney or something.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do their function because we're stuck in this doorway, right?
Yeah. So
whatever they were doing, they weren't able to do because stuck in a doorway, right? And so then I think we got him back. So then we're stuck in a doorway. So we kind of shimmy around her. She is frozen. But behind us is somebody in a wheelchair looking like their entrails are everywhere, trying to get people to move at the right speed through the haunted house. So they're cackling and screaming, entrails everywhere. I get to say that. And I'm going to keep saying it, entrails everywhere. And shimming around. I don't know what happened, but three people were in front of me. I'm sliding past her, and somehow she hit her go button. And was behind us now, running full force. And I was like, I don't even know what's happening. Like, it was so more like afraid of what being run over and hit, and just a whole different like kind of trauma than just on the house.
Yeah. Whole new layer.
Yeah. So in case anybody's wondering and going, you know what, Erica, I'll take you to a haunted house. I want you to carefully listen to these stories on how these things go, because it's a terrible plan. Ryan, we were just talking about like haunted houses that have scared you. What's one that has scared you?
The Exorcist at, I think it was Universal. They had one, I think it was in, I can't remember if it was I think it was California. And they had a Universal one, and they had an Exorcist church. And it was really freaky because you go in there and you go into a church, just like a normal church. You go in there and sit down to these pews and you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden, people are just sitting there, and then the lady gets up out of the church pew, and she gets up there and starts talking at the front where the preacher would normally be. And she starts like talking to us, like, what's wrong with y'all? Don't y'all know that things like this attract evil? And blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking that she's just some crazy lady out of the crowd, you know, that, because I believe in that kind of stuff, but I just thought she was taking it too far. I'm like, okay, yeah, but you know, we're here to kind of have fun. And then all of a sudden, like, the walls start shaking, and then, like, all this crazy stuff starts happening, and, like, possessed people start popping up everywhere, and it was wild. It was really wild. And they also done, like, a had like a Conjuring type house. They had Annabelle there. She'd be like sitting in a chair and you'd be looking right at her and then she'd just disappear right in front of your eyes. Oh. Or like the nun, like in the movie, how the nun, the picture was on the wall and she put her hand on it and just walked out of the wall. And I sat there and I see the picture and I'm thinking, oh, it'd be cool if they could do something like that. But there's no way they could do it with like 50 people sitting there looking at it, right? What was I wrong? No, she comes straight out of the wall and she comes out and everybody starts freaking out. And then, of course, Annabelle starts popping up throughout the house. And it was really wild. It was a really good time. But like I said, I don't know about the only time I ever really got scared, though. It's kind of funny how like some of the haunted houses, how you go through the tunnel and it's spinning and it's got the strobe light. Well, I got like vertigo, and that stuff bothers me. So normally when that I go through those things, I close my eyes. And, you know, some of them are really cool because they got the mist and the smoke that only comes about waist high, so you can't see what's below you. So I'm walking through this, and I'm like, okay. And I'm in the front, so I'm just kind of closing my eyes, barely peeking, because if I look at this stuff, I'm going to get nauseous and sick. As soon as I get to the end, you know, when I feel my foot hit the solid ground, I open my eyes, and then this possessed demon lady, like, jumps up in front of me. Yeah, her head almost spun around, but it wasn't the way she wanted it, right? So that, it actually kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, I can relate to that. And I, yes. So I always love it when they do it really, really well. I'm always impressed how people create the scary things that we can encounter in a haunted house. But we were just talking about, like, my rational brain, to what you said, Lindsay, completely departs the premises and there's no logic. I'm like, of course they, you know, I know people who do Halloween Horror Nights and Hollow Scream and all these things. Like, I know people who act in it every year. Mark used to act in it. And so I know, like, they're not demons in the house or, you know, actually, but man, I get in there. Nope. Every logical part of my body goes, I'm leaving. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you here with your lizard brain that's terrified of everything that's about to happen.
That's why you go, you leave reality. You want to take in the moment because really you want to be scared, right? You want to come across something. You're like, oh, you want to really be freaked out. Otherwise, why would you pay? You know, it's losing your sense of normalcy, I guess is what it is.
No, I think it's true. And I think a lot of people, you know, sort of almost like an adrenaline junkie, crave being scared and being startled and things like, I mean, that's why we go on, if you think about it, that's why we go on roller coasters or any other kind of rides, because I mean, I don't do the ones that just kind of pull you up and then drop you, because those just make me nauseous. And I'm like, that's not a pleasant sensation. But why else would you go up and then be turned upside down and drop? Like, you want, it's not because you're like, this is so pretty, what a view up here. Like, for the 3 seconds they hold you still before they drop you, yay.
Like, oh, this is nice. And then all of a sudden your stomach leaves your feet.
Exactly. It's definitely interesting. So you guys are coming up on your spooky season, right? Mm-hmm. I know you have a lot of guests, which we'll talk about, but what plans do you have for spooky season as we're going? What are you guys doing? What are you conspiring to do?
Well, one thing is we're going to go to Scarefest in October, a couple weekends before Halloween. And last year for our first Halloween podcasting, we did an on-location kind of episode. And that was a lot of fun. We went to the Martha Washington Inn. It's a haunted Revolutionary War building in Virginia, near where Lindsay lives. And this year we've been tossing ideas around about where we want to go, because we'd like to do another, like, on location and make that like an annual thing for that episode. So we've talked a little bit about a few places, but I don't really want to give it away.
You don't have to give it away, but that's very cool that you're going in. I will absolutely not join you. I'll be at Yes, I don't knowingly go into haunted places, or if I do, it takes much prep. But
Erica, it's fun. We gotta go. It's fun.
It is fun.
We gotta go to haunted places. It's in the podcast name. Erie is right there.
It is right there. I will say, okay, the ghosts of Ryan's phone.
Okay. Yeah, they're really getting
them. And then he's back again. This is so much.
Yeah, I had you on my phone.
I know. So, the ghosts of Ryan's
phone. The whole time my computer is rebooting, and like I'm trying to hold my phone and make it look like all decent, and I'm like, well, everything's good on my computer now, so I'm just going to switch.
I love it. No, I will go into haunted places depending on what I feel before I go in there.
I'll hold your hand. It will be okay. We'll hold hands.
Lodestone for me? What the heck is that? But, like, so they'll get attached to you and not me? That sounds like it. Fine.
Yeah.
I'll push you up front.
Sounds good. Let's go.
I'm good with that. Who are you looking forward to see at Scarefest? Because there's some pretty cool people coming.
Yes, I can answer that one first. Oh, please. Okay, so my favorite vampire is going to be there. And I paid to have my picture made with him. Yes, I did. Okay, 1985 Fright Night, Chris Sarandon as Jerry Dandridge. Okay, you know who I'm talking about? Yes. So that is...
I love me some Chris Sarandon. So yes. That's nice.
So that's my favorite. Well, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys in person too. Yeah.
Yes, which that wasn't, I wasn't setting myself up for that answer. I legitimately wanted to know who you guys wanted to see celebrity-wise. What about you, Ryan? Like, what do you want to see?
I'm going to see, isn't that the one that Robert Englund's going to be at, or is that going to be a different one?
I don't think he's at Scarefest this year. No.
Okay, we're going somewhere to Robert Englund. I don't think it's that one. I'm excited to go because I want to go out and just meet everybody, meet new other podcasts. I'm just excited just to go see everybody because there's so many people there that I want to see. So I couldn't really just name one. But like I said, I want to go see, you know, besides the ones we're doing with the podcast, I'm going to see a lot of haunted houses. I'm going to do some freaky stuff. You know, we might be able to go get together, maybe do some, some live activities or something like that. I liked when we went to the Sneed House and was in the cemetery and we done some different things. So, there's a couple ideas I have in mind. But like I said, anything to do with Halloween, scary, you know, anything to kind of get your adrenaline pumping because it takes a lot to scare me. I mean, I get freaked out or, you know, some jump scares, but to actually get scared, it takes a lot. And I have been scared a few times like that, you know, in real life. But it's far and few between.
Okay. So, okay. What about you, Lindsay? Who's on your list, my friend? Because
I don't know that I've like looked at the big list of everybody that's going as far as celebrity wise. But I'm excited to meet you guys. I think Alan Searcy is going to be there. Yeah. We did an interview with him that posted Friday, and we just interviewed another guest that I think is going to be there too.
Zach Bale.
Yeah, is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So really, it's just everybody that we've been having on the podcast.
Friends.
So I'm excited. Yeah, like new friends. I'm excited to meet everybody in person. And I've never been to a con, so I'm just excited in general.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
First one, I know.
That's actually really exciting because it is a very different thing. I'm a little excited about somebody who's not really a horror person, which is Dermot Mulroney. I loved him in My Best Friend's Wedding. This is not for this podcast, but just throwing that out there, it's one of my favorites.
I didn't know he was going to be there. Oh, yeah. Fox. Oh, my God.
He is adorable. So, Lindsay, when you get there, me and you can just go stare at him from a distance.
Okay.
And only mildly creepy because it's a con, so we can do
it. Yeah, we'll play it cool. But
I'll be at Chris Randon's booth wherever he is.
Not playing it cool at all, Rhonda. I can already tell.
I'll just be trying to keep you out of going to jail for Oogly or stalking.
I have all the bail money. I like that. I gotta ask.
Yeah, me and Mark will be like.
So. Well, Bo, I have to say this was really funny. So we got to go to Dragon Con, which is where we all got the funk that we're still dealing with. Mm-hmm. But Bo went to, what was it? Tampa Bay? No, not Tampa Bay. Anyway.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
Right, with your tattoo, I'm going down a whole entire getting to meet the guy from Baldur's Gate.
Oh, that was MegaCon.
MegaCon. MegaCon Tampa, Bowen wanted to meet the guy who voices the vampire from the video game Baldur's Gate. We're all doing vampires now. So we couldn't get in line to save
our
lives.
If only we were all doing vampires.
Yeah. So Bowen instead got a tattoo. That's what she did to commemorate. And then we go to Dragon Con, and I'm like, you know, we could get him to sign your leg where your tattoo is, and you can go get that tattoo.
Yeah.
She wouldn't do it.
You didn't do it?
No. I don't like meeting celebrities. Erica loves to do it, and I like to go stare at people, like we stared at this guy from Supernatural for a while. Yeah, that was nice. I like that.
We're kind of lucky. I'll tell you, Lindsay, I've got this creeping out on the stars thing down.
She's real good at it.
I'm fine with it. I have no complaints.
Brian, I've never been arrested, so don't worry. I do have this down to a science. And I end up meeting celebrities in like the weirdest places. Like, I have so many pictures and stuff from running into them in elevators, stuff like that, just outside randomly, like, I have many, many stories because for whatever reason, I will go outside to where they're having like a dance party and I will meet a celebrity in the middle of the dance party because that's how I roll.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
But we have to talk Halloween costumes. So, because some people do get dressed up to go to these conventions, which you'll see, Lindsay, is tons of fun. But I want to know what your guys' favorite thing to dress up as is. So, Ryan, I'm putting you up front. What is your favorite thing to dress up as? If you say Linda Blair from The Exorcist, man.
Oh, there's a story. There's a story. So we come from a family that I'm surprised anything scares us anymore, because like our cousins, our uncles, dads, they're always scaring us when we're growing up. I mean, doing stuff like climbing up on top of the house to scare you, right? And anyway, so we decided that back in, I think it was 2013 or 2014, we started doing McCoy Halloween reunion bash, okay? And at our very first one, Ryan and I decided, since it was the anniversary, it was like the 30-year anniversary of Ghostbusters, right? Or something like that. So it must have been 2014. And so we decided that we would, when we invited everybody, we would say that special guests were coming at 8:30. Special guests are coming. We didn't tell anybody who it was. And we bought Ghostbuster costumes, he and I. And I thought we were going to show up in our regular clothes. And then when 8:30 came, or a little bit, few minutes before, Ryan's girlfriend Lisa was going to turn the light off in the big room where we all were. He and I sneak out, you know, we're going to get in our Ghostbusters get up. We had a karaoke machine. We're going to jump out, start singing Ghostbusters, you know. Well, unbeknownst to me, I show up in my regular clothes, you know, because the thing starts at like 6:30. So, you know, I'm just milling around, and all our cousins went all out for this. I mean, we had Vikings. We had Red Riding Hood after she'd been attacked by the wolf. We had all kinds of stuff. And so the door opens, and I see this little priest hobble in, and the girl from The Exorcist. Now, at this point, I hadn't met Ryan's girlfriend, Lisa. Okay. But you couldn't tell it was Ryan. I didn't know who Lisa was from Adam. And he had a full, I mean, he looked just like the priest from The Exorcist. And I couldn't figure out who it was. And he thought it was hilarious. But anyway, his girlfriend was, I mean, she had the contacts in. She just looked, I mean, she was scared.
Went off. She had the gown. Yes. You know, he had the stains on it. She had the wig. I mean,
it was amazing.
She could have stood in as a double for real. We went all out for that.
They did. And he's hobbling around like this little old man. I'm like, who is that? Anyway, I found out it was Ryan. And so he had two costumes that night. He came dressed as the priest from The Exorcist. And then we bust out in our Ghostbusters get up and we sing. The music starts playing and we jump out. We're singing Ghostbusters. And then everybody realizes, oh, okay, they're the special guests.
They're the guests.
Anyway, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I love how much, first of all, I loved everything about that story. But Ryan, it borders on obsession. I'm just going to throw that out there. I've been on for like 40 minutes and I already feel like you have a problem. So I'm just...
To be honest, that wasn't even my idea.
Was it Lisa's?
Yes.
Was
it? I mean, she knew about your problem, so she like fed into it.
Listen, I've got a backstory to that because see,
backstory, go.
We dressed up at home, and we had to drive 2 hours to get there. So we're driving down the 4-lane and people are looking, you know, and we're like, oh, we're going to have some fun. Right. And these people pull up beside this truck, you know, and they're middle aged, you know, and this lady looks over and Lisa in full, like, she's like, it just like freaks this lady out. Right. And like, we're just tripping people out the entire way. And then something happens. I forget what it was. And me and Lisa was going back and forth and she said something snooty. So I just look at her and I have my cross on it. I rebuke you, and I just tapped her right before him. She didn't like that too good, but I thought it was hilarious, right? But, yeah, that wasn't really my idea, but it went over great. And there's several people probably to this day talking about the priest and the possessed person going somewhere. They probably thought I was taking her to a church to exercise her or something.
The way that I would have run my car into a ditch.
We had fun. She was like, she'd be like, quiet, and then all of a sudden, you know, look, she'd be like, oh, yeah, people's like swerving, and you know, it was cool at red lights. Oh, yeah, we had a ball.
And this is the way we grew up. I mean, it's just like normal for us. So I think it was like normal for Lindsay to like scary stuff too. I don't know, she kind of followed. Right along there.
And a lot of things.
Well, she hasn't answered her costume question. So, Lindsay.
I don't know. That's a hard one. I usually like my go-to is like something witchy because I love witches. But also this year I was kind of thinking, and I was talking to my sister about this. I was like, what should I be for Halloween? And I was going to go as like Wednesday Addams. But then I kind of feel like I want to go as Barbie and have my dog Champ go as Ken. I think that would be a really good choice.
I do.
And like a little blonde wig.
Okay, I want to say you went from dark Wednesday Addams, and then the flip wasn't like, I'm going to go as Lydia from Beetlejuice or something. No, instead you're like, I'm going to go as Barbie.
I feel like I have these two sides of my personality, and one is like really dark and witchy, and the other one's like super like girly and Barbie and princessy, whatever. They're very conflicting, but here we are.
That's
who I am.
I thoroughly appreciate that. But what about you? I don't think I've ever asked you. What is one of your favorite Halloween costumes you've ever dressed up as?
Oh, I don't really like to dress up now, but apparently I was a Dalmatian from 101 Dalmatians for like 4 years as a child. And my mom made the costume. Aww. And it was like a white sweatsuit set that she put little black dots all over. And an ugly headband that she made Dalmatian ears on. And she put eyeliner on my nose. It was very cute. And felt around my neck because I needed a collar, obviously.
Yeah.
And because I was obsessed with dogs and also 101 Dalmatians.
I think that is so adorable. I mean, one of the things Mark always says is there's always more trick-or-treaters than there are children in the neighborhood.
True.
I do cosplay, so like I level up that getting dressed up. Like I've done it for conventions and all kinds of things. So my favorite scary one probably is dressing as the withered lover from 13 Ghosts, where it looked like my face was melted off. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. That gets really cold, by the way, those appliances on your face. You don't really. Yeah, there are things that people don't tell you. Wearing wigs is incredibly hot.
Yes.
All the time. No matter what wig you wear, you're going to be incredibly warm, period. Yeah. The other thing they don't tell you is you do any of like the vampire bites, or like I did the Red Riding Hood where it looked like I'd been, my entire chest was gashed open with wounds. Because when I do it, I don't go like, oh, here's a little blood. No, I'm like,
all out.
Yes. But, you know, like that's how you do it. But those appliances, after they're on you for a little while, start getting cold. And so what you don't realize, like, so mad props to anybody who does this at like Halloween Horror Nights and stuff, is those things get very cold very fast. So it feels like you have sort of like this slimy, wet, thick thing that's freezing and stuck to your face. So just in case anybody was wondering how wonderful that goes, there you go. Yeah. Okay. It looks like one of our Gorton says, what is their favorite cryptid? So Lindsay, I guess we need to know first from you, what is your favorite cryptid?
It's hard for me to pick a favorite because I feel like aliens and Bigfoot and Mothman are all kind of tied for first place. But I mean, Bigfoot's the OG, right? Like, you feel like you kind of have to say him no matter what. But I think all things alien, it's just so interesting to me. I love it. Anything to do with aliens, I'm like, what? Tell me more.
But are aliens cryptids?
I kind of lump them in as cryptids. I mean, they're not cryptids of this earth, but as far as mysterious creatures go, I guess.
Okay. Aliens are probably, I like that you said they're not cryptids of this earth, as if they're cryptids of another earth. So what we get showing up are not the normal people. We get the cryptids showing up from other planets.
Yeah. I mean, they probably drive by Earth and they're like, well, if we're going to send somebody down, let's just send our cryptids down. They'll blend in.
Oh my God, Lizzie, that might be my new favorite theory on alien visitation.
Someone send alien Mothman down. It'll be okay.
It's fine. You know what? They're all about Bigfoot there. So yeah, you with the pointy, you in the ship. You got
wings. Round them up. Round them up. You'll blend in. It'll be great. But I feel like you also kind of have to say, the reason that I say Mothman, I do feel like the story is very interesting. But mainly, it's because of the Mothman statue.
Oh, no. Here we go again, Ron.
Okay. So my question, Lindsay, I think we talked about this when we were on the show, because I've gotten full butt touchage. So did you get full butt touchage?
I've not been.
Yeah,
I will. I've not been, but I will. And I will.
Okay. Like, full. Like... full.
It's well, nice. Now when I go next week, I'm gonna have to take a picture getting full butt to just send to you guys.
Double cheeked up, just thick. Yeah, three seats.
It blew my mind because we've done an episode on Mothman, and then you know, and I hadn't. I know Lindsay, but not very well. I've grown to know a lot about Lindsay.
You know, Mothman was sick.
She's like, and it shows, you know, a full-on picture of Mothman's backside. And then she's like, ooh, that's thick. And I'm like, what?
So, the term, Ryan got embarrassed. It was great.
Yeah. So I was just this is where we're going now.
No, I did that to Mark. I mean, Mark's up for anything, but when we went last year to the Mothman Festival, I went for the first time. He's like, you want a picture with the statue? Because we got there before the chaos. Like, if you're going, do not think you're getting really near that statue on Saturday, for instance, because the line is huge, right? So we went Friday early. And so he goes and he's like, okay, picture. And he starts to walk up to the front of it. And I like was like, he's like, okay. And I'm like, touch the butt. And he
would touch just feel butt. It. Just feel it.
The butt. You know, okay. So Ryan, what about you? Now that we have alien cryptids into this mix somehow, what is your favorite cryptid?
I'm a little bit more classic. I love Bigfoot. My goal, I will find Bigfoot eventually. I mean, I'm going to treat it just like a serial killer or something. I'm going to set her on the map. I'm going to do my research. Okay, Bigfoot was seen at this date, this time, at this location, this time of year, and I'm going to have my little pins, and I'm going to pinpoint it down. If you're here September 6th at 7 o'clock on this exact road, you're going to see Bigfoot. So that's kind of my goal. And I did wear something just for this episode, and it is a little hot. So I'll show you guys. This is a gift that I got from my stepmom. And since it Erie Travels, it does have, it's got a UFO. Okay. It also has Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. So I wore that because I knew I was going to be on the show.
I love that.
And it's super comfortable. I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is it right here. So it's hot right now, but I like wearing this.
Alien cryptids. Okay. I appreciate the Bigfoot. What I think is going to be funny, Ryan, is I feel like you're going to have done all this research, be so prepared, and like you're going to be in your camp all ready for it. And Bigfoot's going to walk right behind you and pick up your Twinkies and walk out of the camp. And then you're going to find the footprints and you're going to be like, damn it.
Yeah.
Or instead, you're going to be driving down this road that Bigfoot is going to be on. It's going to be completely dark. And then all of a sudden, your headlights are just going to catch on to two cheeks. And it's going to just be Mothman instead. And he's going to turn around and be like, hey, Ryan, how you doing?
That would be beyond actually perfect. And then Ryan would never talk about that encourage.
No, he wouldn't.
I would guarantee it would be thicker than Mothman.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be Bigfoot. Just like, hey, girly pop.
Knowing my luck, it'd be something like a chance. I'd be like doing something, and then out of the blue, you'd see Bigfoot like, and then vanish and be like, really? He'd be like a smart aleck playing with me. He'd be like, oh, he's trying to find me. Watch you be like.
He'll take your sweatshirt in the middle of the night and take a little selfie of himself in that sweatshirt.
Yeah, take a picture. And then put like Misty.
That would be hysterical. Okay, Rhonda, you're going to have, we've got Bigfoot, a Mothman butt. We got Bigfoot stealing Ryan stuff. How are you going to top this with your favorite cryptid?
My favorite cryptids are skinwalkers. I didn't even know. I've never heard of
what
a skinwalker.
What is wrong with you?
I had never even heard of a skinwalker until about maybe 4 years ago when I started kind of listening to paranormal podcasts. I was like, what is a skinwalker? Yeah, but they freak me out. I'm like, really want to learn a lot more about them. Because like they're different in different parts of the country, and I'm fascinated with the ones out in the Navajo reservation,
like Nevada and stuff like that.
Yes,
the Navajo Nation, because skinwalker is a Navajo term. But okay, so all humor aside here, I appreciate Mothman. He doesn't really have a body count. Sasquatch does not really have a body count. However, Rhonda, you something that legitimately has a body count. Why would you choose this one thing that makes people disappear? Like, this is a terrible plan.
I don't know. It's just, they fascinate me. They really do.
Skin walkers are creepy, but it just sounds like what you get when you check into a bad hotel. It's just...
So we all know how this is going to go. If you guys are out exploring and Rhonda hears her name being called by a familiar voice off in the woods, she's going to be like, Skinwalker.
Bye.
She's like, yes, I am over here. Come this way.
Yeah.
Wow. It's definitely, that'll be fun. I'll miss you, Rhonda. When
R.I.P.
The world.
Skinwalkers are mimics. Yeah, they're, she's going to get it by either one.
Yeah. Ron has his hands full keeping Lindsay and I like kind of in order.
I'm sitting there, I'm already like trying to get my head wrapped around this whole thing about y'all being at the same place with all these guys you're planning on seeing, and I'm like, we're not going to get anything done that day. We're going to be like
no you won't, actually, which will be the best part, is that you won't get anything done. And Lindsay's going to love the costumes, and then she's going to come back and go, I'm not being Barbie. I'm going to have something that look where I look like my face is ripped off.
Yeah, just completely missing lower jaw. Just maybe like a gruesome Barbie, so I can be both. You know?
I like it. You could have perfect hair.
And or you could be Barbie Mothman.
Oh.
Caked up, yes. Mothman.
Yes.
You can be Barbie Blair. And she can all have all the princesses. Yeah, Barbie.
Why are we back to the exercise? Talking about your problem.
Because you're talking about mixing good with bad. I'm like, why not do both at the same time?
I know, but you default. Like, we were going all kinds of places. You default went back to the exorcist. Like a gravitational pull into the world.
Is Linda Blair going to be at this event? Because she should be, apparently.
Oh, my God. Imagine they're out there to see Chris and everything. Imagine poor Ryan if Linda Blair was there. Like, that would be the end of the end right there.
Yeah, I met... Eileen Deitch, and I've actually got a signed copy of the Exorcist original script. So if Linda Blair's ever, I'm taking it. And if I can get both signatures, that would be cool.
She does the convention circuit. I've seen her at the convention. So
I'm a huge Freddy Krueger fan. I like Michael Myers. I like Jason. You know, I like a lot of different ones. But when I dress up, I like to dress up in a way, like Rhonda mentioned before, I don't want to be recognized. So if I do something, I don't want people to know it's me initially until I decide to let them know who I am, right? So I like just dressing up being something completely off the wall that's least expected. So if I go somewhere dressed up, they're not going to have a clue.
Yeah. I like that. That's very stalkery sounding, that you made it even creepier by saying that. You're like, you're not going to know it's me until I watch.
Linda Blair might want to call the police.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Zone. Okay, so we only have a few minutes left. Bo, do you have any questions? Because I realize I monopolized a lot of the questions.
I've just been laughing so much. There's not a thought in my head.
Okay, so I have one because you guys brought it up. So I want some comparisons. So you guys had a small town Virginia life. And some of our travelers obviously have smaller town, but a lot of us grew up in larger cities. You know, I grew up in Hollywood, California, which has its own freak show and aliens for different reasons, but having to do with people. I remember the first time I saw somebody walking a tiger down the street in California, and people joke, this is a legitimate thing that happened. So anyway, but let's talk about small town life. What is something about small town Virginia life that people would not probably think about? If you say The Exorcist, Ryan, I'm dumping you off.
I was going to say how far removed we were from like just modern conveniences. I mean, having to drive 30 minutes to the grocery store. I mean, you couldn't go around the corner, you know, and pick up milk and bread usually. I mean, if you wanted to go somewhere for entertainment or what, like to go to the theater to watch those scary movies, it was like a 40-minute drive, you know? But we loved growing up in small town America because it seemed like, you know, neighbors took care of neighbors. Everybody knew each other. It was not so impersonal. You know what I mean?
You mean you're running into random people with tigers? Yeah, no,
Now we might have seen somebody walking a raccoon down the road or something.
So you said something earlier because we were talking about dogs. I just have to throw this out here because it's something I didn't even understand until I started doing this podcast with Mark, and a listener wrote in about squirrel hunting. And I was like, how is that a thing? Is that a thing? Because I'm used to little teeny gray squirrels that you see like in the city, like little teeny, like microscopic squirrel. And I'm like, why would anyone spend time trying to hunt these things? Like, that sounds dumb. And then you brought up a dog that's bred to hunt squirrels. Yeah. And I'm like, what in the hell is happening?
Well, now it's more a sport, but I know when mine and Ryan's dads were growing up, you know, they were brothers. There were seven of them. Their dad was sick with tuberculosis and their mom is trying to raise seven kids. They went hunting and they brought back squirrel and rabbit and deer and they ate them. Our grandma cooked them up and they ate them. And I mean, it's not for me personally, but you do what you got to do.
I'm still like, what? And it's people eat things all over this world that some of us would be like, what? But that's what they're used to. But I'm like, squirrel hunting. Okay. Yeah.
Some squirrels are actually bigger than what you see in the city.
Yeah, they're not.
They get to be the size of like maybe a real small cat. They taste good when you fix them right. But like I said, we was raised that if you killed something, you had to eat it. You know, when you hunt food and things like that. And like Rhonda said, I mean, I lived on the very tip top of a mountain. You're 30 minutes from the nearest gas station. You didn't just go off the mountain. You went off maybe twice a month to get groceries. And then, you know, when school's out, you kicked your shoes off and you probably didn't see them again until school come back in.
Yeah.
You were out running in the woods and playing fox and the hound and hide and seek. And
we scaring each other. Really
not to be scared of much. I remember, you know, in the summertime, you'd be bored. We'd walk across the top of the mountain 12 years old and walk for miles just by ourselves, you know, and there's wild animals out there. And some of us, we might have a little 12 gauge or 410, or most of the time we just carried a stick because we, you know, we were young and dumb. We're like, this ain't nothing gonna happen. I'm just whacking the head with something. So
we didn't lock our doors. We weren't afraid to get kidnapped.
Everybody, you know,
they would have brought us back.
It was peaceful. You didn't have to worry about nothing. The kids would take off after breakfast. You know, you was gone. They didn't know where you was at until dark. You'd go out. You'd be off the mountain. You know, you'd go hunting. You'd go play football all day. You'd come back. As long as you back by dark, it's fine. They didn't know where you went, what you did. It's a miracle we lived.
It is.
So
I say that all the time because even growing up where I grew up in Hollywood, California, my mom had a rule that we had to be in when the street lights came on because, like, the street lights were on a timer. Mm-hmm. And I look back and I go, well, that doesn't seem very safe that you wouldn't know where I was like the entire day in a large city, but okay, whatever. What about you, Liz? So you didn't chime in on that. What about growing up in a small town?
I did grow up in small towns. I mean, not as small as that. Like, I feel like my childhood was still pretty normal. I never have had a squirrel. We just ate normal groceries, like Cocoa Pebbles and, like, you know, Cocoa 90s stuff. Yeah.
Why don't we just get our food from the grocery store like everybody else, right?
When I was growing up, because we did live a bunch of different places, but we were never, like, out in the boondocks, middle of nowhere. Right. We were still in town, I guess, so.
She got a taste of that when we'd go to visit grandparents.
Yeah, but, no. Squirrels, not for me.
So now what's happening is your family's listening going, you know what we're going to do next time she's over here?
We're going to give that girl some squirrel.
More gravy.
I'm good. I think I'll be okay.
Try some of this chicken.
You know, there is, I will say, though, in Bristol, and I don't know, because Bristol's like the nearest bigger city to me. And I don't know if it's still there, but there's this little restaurant and they serve alligator. Mm-hmm. And me and a couple of my friends were like, okay, well, we've got to go try this. And they had little fried alligator bites. And so they just looked like, I'm trying to think, they were like, they just looked like really tiny mini chicken nuggets. And that's what it tasted like. So maybe, I mean, it could have just been chicken and they were like, hey, this is alligator, pay like $7 for this, haha. But I mean, it tasted, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was interesting. So like, I'm not opposed to eating interesting things. I do think squirrels are cute, so I would not want to eat them, you know?
No, it makes sense. I lived in Florida, so I've had gator. I've had a lot of weird stuff, but gator is pretty chewy.
Yeah.
And it does not necessarily have a lot of flavor. I mean, everything's how you cook it. I'm going to say this, and travelers are going to be sending me gator recipes that I need to. We're going to get gator and squirrel recipes, but
yep.
I do think you should definitely try things. It just threw me off completely that the squirrel hunting. So anyway, okay. I officially notified by our producer, Bo Pain in the Butt, late. That's her new nickname, I've decided, that we have hit the hour mark, whatever, bossy pants. So I already know from the show with you guys, we could talk for hours.
Someone has to keep this train on the tracks, Erica.
Well, if you were serving squirrel, we would have a different conversation. Nah. So, okay, let's
do no meal cart on this train.
Let's do some shameless self-promotion, though. How do people find the amazing Sirens of the Supernatural?
Well, you can find us just Sirens of the Supernatural, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And then on TikTok, we are at Supernatural Sirens. And email us. We love to get emails from listeners. And we're sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. Pretty easy to remember all of that. So...
Yeah, we love reading their stories and getting interaction. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when we first started, we read several stories. That's one of our favorite things to do.
Yeah,
Lindsay and Rhonda are good at putting sound effects. And, you know, one of us would decide who reads it, and we do a really good job. We try to interact and be engaged in the story. It's awesome. So we like stories.
Oh, I love them, too. We love our listener stories and our listener questions. So do not send me a listener question asking how I prepare squirrel or alligator for either one of those. But you could email Ryan and ask how best to dress up as an exorcist character. So he's got that nailed down at this point. So
I haven't picked squirrel forever, so now I'm pretty much, you know. But I could probably remember how if I thought about it.
He's like, no, I'm off squirrel at the moment, actually.
Yeah. I'm taking a break from squirrel.
Now, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You guys have been so amazing to have on. We will definitely, you know what? We're going to have to meet up at Scarefest and then
group
back together in October. I feel like we have to do that. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was great. Absolutely. So travelers, as Mark would say out there in the great unknown, make sure you really check what kind of meat you're being given when people say it's quote unquote chicken. Also, most especially, beware of those alien cryptids that other races are sending down to our planet, because it seems to be a problem. And with that, we will see you on the other side.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to 2 free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin
and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.